Well, you might know Maria Sharapova, but what do you have in common with a multi-million dollar tennis star? Maybe more than you think. We'll talk you, work, and tennis on today's Money with Friends. Welcome to Money with Friends, coming to you from Detroit, Michigan, where we make the Stacky Benjamin Show. I'm Joe Saul-Sehy.
And I'm Josh Dorkin, coming to you from Denver, Colorado.
This is the show where we open the news and dive in with a financial thought leader from all walks of life. Today, from a great walk of life, because it's Josh Dorkin, the founder of Bigger Pockets, with us. Today, we're also talking about a piece from CNBC that we're going to be focusing on. We'll not only read a little bit of the piece to you, like some podcasts, but we're also going to talk about why this is important to you and your wallet. Big thanks to Round for supporting Money with Friends. Round, it's a digital consultant that gets members direct access to premium investments. With Round, your money's actively invested with Wall Street's top fund managers. Open a Round account today and you'll see why it's Forbes' number one rated app for high-end investment management. Head to investround.com/MWF for more. We got Josh Dorkin back for more. Dude, we didn't lose you after day one. That's always a good sign for us.
It's a good sign for me. I haven't been fired yet. Shocking. Shocking.
And you remember that show? You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yesterday,
every time I talk to you, I worry that I'm gone.
Yesterday that totally would have been me, because you carried the show like you're going to carry your new podcast. How about that for a transition?
Ooh, nice plug.
Undeniably curious. I'm undeniably curious what this show is going to be about, Mr. Dorkin.
The show is kind of an extension from the previous show that I hosted, the Bigger Pockets podcast, where we help people build their financial well-being, their financial life. This is my attempt to explore the other parts of life, family, happiness, health, take it to that next level, and really start to ask some of those deeper questions that we don't really get to ask other people because we're too scared, or it's rare that people really dive in deep with one another. And so my thought is, I'm a curious guy. Let me start probing.
Here's a question. Are you going to talk to Maria Sharapova?
Oh my God. If anybody listening has a connection, I would love to have her on the show so we could dive in and talk about some of this stuff. So yeah,
well,
absolutely.
Like we do around the holidays at our house, if she's not in the room, let's go ahead and talk about her. So let's
Maria, come on. Maria, please.
Let's see which one of our friends is going to help us kick off this piece about Maria Sharapova.
This is Scott from the Inspired Stewardship Podcast. The money talking party starts now. It's time for Money with Friends.
All right. This comes to us from CNBC Make It. It's written by Kathleen Elkins. Maria Sharapova came to the U.S. with $700. Here's what she learned from having to work for every single dollar. Mr. Dorkin.
All right. Maria Sharapova first picked up a tennis racket at age 4 in her hometown of Sochi, Russia. By age 6, she showed so much promise that tennis legend Martina Navratilova noticed her and recommended that her friend moved to the U.S. for more training opportunities. Wow. I like that they were friends at age 6 and yeah, whatever Maria was. Shortly after, the rising star and her dad flew from Moscow to Miami to develop her game at Nick Bulatteri's prestigious tennis academy. They arrived with just $700 and didn't know a word of English. So just stop there for a quick second. We've heard this story many, many times before. I think it's so compelling and brave for folks to do such things. These journeys are not easy. My family went through similar things, a generation ago. So I think that's one of the reasons this is so compelling. But while Sharapova trained all day, her dad worked multiple low-wage jobs to cover rent, necessities, and tennis lessons. They slept on a pullout couch in a small apartment owned by a middle-aged Russian woman, Sharapova writes in her new book, Unstoppable. We pay $250 a month for the use of the kitchen and bathroom, as well as the living room, giving us access to the television, which was important. That's how I learned to speak English. The sacrifice paid off. A decade after moving to the States at age 17, Sharapova won Wimbledon. That was the first of what would be five Grand Slam titles, and it came with a sizable paycheck, £560,500. Today, the 31-year-old has earned more than $38 million in career prize money, despite a 15-month suspension with the WTA, and was the world's highest-paid female athlete for 11 straight years, something that all of the listeners can relate to. Growing up with very little has influenced how much she manages her millions today, however, she tells CNBC Make It. Despite her success on the court, she plans for the future as if her tennis career could end tomorrow. That's part of the reason she launched her candy company, Sugarpova, in 2012, with the long-term goal of building it into a lifestyle brand after leaving tennis. Her candy line, which includes chocolates and gummies, is now available in 22 countries and sold via a variety of retail partners as well as online.
When you're young and you're successful and you're doing well and things are automatic for you in your life, you tend to think that that will continue for years on end, says Sharapova, who overcame a serious shoulder injury in 2008. It's important to also be realistic about what can happen tomorrow, about injuries, about someone leaving your company, about another company coming in and being a competitor of yours. The self-made millionaire has also realized that money ultimately doesn't bring you the happiness that people from the outside might see, she tells CNBC Make It. Of course, it allows you to buy more materialistic products, but all those things are very temporary. It's a lesson she learned firsthand after splurging on a Louis Vuitton bag after winning Wimbledon as a teenager. I wore it, I don't know, three times, and then I realized how silly that looked. Ultimately, money is not the pinpoint of happiness, says Sharapova, who won her first round match at the 2018 U.S. Open on Tuesday. And I think growing up in that environment, growing up working for every single dollar, in a sense, that I've earned today makes you realize that. Obviously, this little bit older piece, the U.S. Open was not on Tuesday. However, it might be a little cold, by the way, at Flushing Meadows this time of year. Not holding it in January, but I love your point. Let's start. There's so many lessons here, Josh, but I want to start. You started with your family and talking about people coming to the United States or coming to a new place. I had clients that moved here from Turkey, barely spoke English. They had been in the Metro Detroit area, I think in the United States even, for a month, maybe 6 weeks, and they hired me. And I remember my client telling me, he said, Joe, I want to buy a job. I would like to buy a job. And I said, well, I didn't know what he meant, but buy a job. So I hooked him up with a resume coach, and he went and he said, oh, Karen, she's wonderful, but that's not what I want. I want to buy a job. And then I realized this dude has been in the United States for 6 weeks. He doesn't and doesn't have any money either. No money, no credit. Usually big problem. But for him, I didn't want to work for somebody. He wanted to buy a company. He ended up, and it was amazing how he did this. He ended up owning a UPS store, like a UPS store franchise that you can still walk into today within 6 months of being here. And it was funny because I had other clients who had grown up in my backyard, done whatever, and struggle with some very basic stuff. This dude doesn't know English, had no money, owns a UPS store. Phenomenal.
Yeah. It's a mindset, right? I mean, at the end of the day, there's mindsets. And like you said, there's so much in this piece. For me, that was a huge thing. Beyond that, the sacrifice obviously paying off, hustling, working your backside off so that somebody, whether, you know, in this case, his daughter can be successful. But really, the big takeaway I think that most people can actually relate to is obviously the fancy purse, the Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
No, actually, it is relevant. But
well, because I was going to say,
buying crap, right?
Yeah.
It's about buying crap. And, you know, it's so easy to say, hey, I got to keep up with the Benjamins and, you know, I'm Maria and I've got all this money. Well, I've met a lot of pro athletes and almost every single one of them has told me how much they regret having blown all their money on just show, right? And so for the average person, for anyone else who's sitting here listening, you know, that could be, hey, everybody in my neighborhood's got a nice car and I don't, so I need to go buy a nice car or I need to buy fancy clothes, you know, like, that none of that matters. None of that matters. So that's one huge takeaway. The other one is,
well, I want to, before you get to that one, if you don't mind, I want to stay on this one for just a second, because I see this, let's go to the other side. I see this a lot in the FIRE movement, which, you know, with my Stacking Benjamins podcast, we talk about this all the time. And there are a bunch of people following the movement who think, if I get to financial independence, I will be happy. If you're unhappy now, you're going to be unhappy when you're financially independent. You're just going to be a financially independent unhappy person. Like there's no, the Louis Vuitton bag, I love that analogy, did not make her happier. Make her happier.
Absolutely. Yeah, great point. Great point. Absolutely. So you got to find happiness outside of just money, because we all think, hey, when I'm rich or when I've got X amount of dollars, I'm finally going to be happy. And that is not true. By the way, back to my plug on me, that's why I'm launching my show. But to Maria, when you're young and successful and doing well and things are automatic, you think that will continue on. But Maria was wise enough in her young age to say, hey, I'm going to start a business so I have another income stream. Not enough people are doing that. We all get jobs and say, hey, all right, okay, well, I'm good and I'm making money. The wise ones, I believe, are the ones who are investing on the side in their own business. They're doing, you know, whether it's a side hustle or they open their own company or own business or buy real estate, you know, other additional streams to balance and counter off in the event something bad happens. So I think that was incredibly smart of her to do.
I do too. And, yeah. I think, well, when we build a financial plan, we would always look at what could go wrong. And a great analogy, early in my career, I had a client that was a civil engineer and she built highways. And she said, whenever they would work on any highway project, the very first thing before any construction, they would look at everything that could go wrong. And they'd list all the things that could go wrong and they would try to eliminate those in their plan. Like that was job number one. And look at what Maria's doing here, the same thing. I've got this huge income stream coming along. What could go wrong? And she's very clear. I could get hurt. You know, if things could happen, I could be unpopular. I could get banned, right? All these
that
things
might happen.
Yeah, all these things could happen to me. And so looking at that risk ahead of time, I think incredibly smart planning on her part.
Yeah, very, very insightful. So yeah, I think those are really interesting takeaways. You know, it's easy. I think too often today, we belittle and look down upon, the block of choice today is the billionaires. Like, hey, let's hate on the billionaires. Hey, let's hate on the athletes because they're making all this money. Instead of hating on them, why don't we learn from them? Why don't we stop for a minute and see what are they doing? What decisions are they making that's allowing them to be in that position? And how can we alter what we're doing to put ourselves in a similar position? I think that's the wise move. I think that's what's going to help the rest of us to get ahead.
It's funny you say that, because that has a lot to do with my big takeaway from this piece. And we're going to get Josh's as well here in just a second. But first, want to talk just a little bit about our sponsor for today's show, Round. Let's talk a minute about how you're managing money right now, and then I'll show you what Round does. Lots of people think about doing the right thing, but their actual portfolio could probably use some work. This is the time of year, by the way, January, where we're thinking about this, right? Beginning of the year, New Year's resolutions, look at my portfolio, might not be the way I want. That's where Round comes in. Round is a digital investment consultant that gets members direct access to premium investments. And with Round, your money's actively invested with Wall Street's top fund managers. And that means investing with fund managers who can strategically reallocate your money during market volatility. They also get your money exposure to alternative asset classes, those things you've been meaning to invest in but haven't had time to research. Or maybe you have researched, you just haven't pulled the trigger. So, instead of dealing with a financial advisor just looking out for their own bottom line, they're looking out for yours. In fact, here's something about Round that surprised me, might also surprise you. Round waives their fee if your returns turn up negative in a given month, and that's how sure that they are. Open a Round account today to access Forbes' number one rated app for high-end investment management. Head to investround.com/MWF for details and to get started. That's investround.com/MWF. Saul Cohen, one of the founders around, talking to him is just, It's amazing. Talk about a guy who's excited about life and internally, Josh, just motivated, just you know what I mean? If you're going to be happy, be happy now. Saul's like the happiest, most motivated, just incredible people. It was funny because when I first heard of them, I thought, this might be okay. Sounds interesting. And then I met Saul and, I don't know. He's quite a dude. But speaking of quite a dude, you're quite a dude because you're going to tell us, trying to make a good transition here, you're going to tell us what your big takeaway is from today's piece.
So I'm kind of stealing this a little bit from Gary Vee, but you can die tomorrow. You can die tomorrow. And I think if you think about your life from that perspective, if you look at your world from the angle of you can die tomorrow, you're going to start planning and thinking about things differently. You talked about the risk and planning for risk and planning for what can go wrong. Well, a lot of things can go wrong, right? A lot of things could go wrong in your life. And so think about that, keep that in mind, and not just for your personal happiness, not just for your health, not just for everything else. You know, you don't want to have any regrets, but in terms of the financial side, you want to start planning for what happens if. Right? If you can start planning for what happens if, then you start thinking about things like, hey, you know, what if I were to buy a rental property? What if I were to buy some real estate? What if I were to open up that business I always wanted to open up as supplemental income for the family? What if I did this? You know, we're so programmed to just do what society tells us to do, which is, you know, get ready, get a job. When the job's over, you're 65 and you collect retirement. It doesn't always work that way, and it doesn't always work so well, even when it does. So I think that's my semi-convoluted takeaway.
No, I love that because I think, Josh, I'm headed the same way, which is that when you talk about that we're also programmed to do what we did yesterday. You know, yep. Just keep doing what we did yesterday. And I think it was Tony Robbins who said, yeah, the past doesn't equal the future. I don't have to wake up today and do anything that I did yesterday. And you talk about people starting the business and maybe someday I'll start the business. You don't see people do that. And I think of Maria Sharapova and her dad with no money come to the US. They don't speak any English. And I think about my client, similar situation, spoke very broken. I want to buy a job. I can't even tell what the hell he's talking about. Dude wants to buy a company in a place where he doesn't have any cash, doesn't have any credit. And he did it. And Maria Sharapova, all the great stuff she did. It reminds me, before they had their great slogan of many years, just do it, Nike had, I don't know if it was ever a slogan, but I had a poster on my wall. And it totally represents who I am. I'm a guy that feels a lot of fear. And Nike had a great phrase before just do it that was feel the fear and do it anyway. And I think I look at Maria Sharapova and all the stuff that she's done, feel the fear, man. And but plan for the fear like she has, plan for all the things that could go wrong because your brain's pretty smart. It will come up with downsides, but most of us stop there and we don't do anything. Think of all the ways that we can solve those downsides like my engineer client did and then start building your road, man. Build it, get it done.
It's January, right? 2020.
This is the year.
A new decade. A new decade. Well, it's not even the year. It's the day. It's the week. It's the month. Like, take some action.
Well, yeah. And what an opportunity we have this year. I mean, 2020, perfect vision. We have 12 months where we can live the perfect vision analogy, huh?
I see what you did there, man. That was awesome.
That could be a paid motivational speaker.
Very clever, but
maybe someday.
Very clever.
Yes. How do people find your new show, man?
You guys can find me at undeniablycurious.com or at UND podcast or just at JR Dworkin and follow me personally.
And I'm sure you'll share all the stuff there too.
Oh yeah.
Good luck with the show. By the way, thanks for spending the last few months with us. This has been a blast.
Thanks, man. It's been fun.
It has been so fun. That's going to do it for us today, guys. Thanks a ton for hanging out. Bobby and I back tomorrow with another episode of Money with Friends. Bye-bye.
This show is created and hosted by Joe Saul Sehy and Bobby Rebel and is a joint venture of BRK Media LLC and Stacking Benjamins LLC, copyright 2019. Taylor Eichenberg engineered this show and Ashley Wall is the producer. For a list of our friends who appear on the podcast, head to our website, moneywithfriendspodcast.com. You can also check out our schedule for upcoming recording sessions so you can join us and be part of the show. As with anything, remember you shouldn't take advice from any of us or any other video or podcast without first talking to your financial advisor, and that the people in this episode are here for your and their entertainment purposes only. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and we'll see you back here next time with another episode of Money with Friends.